Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome. You guys must have thought somebody else was preaching today. Well, thanks for coming here. And this is the first Sunday of the month. And the first Sunday of the month is our job as a preaching a sermon to follow our theme. And of course, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek." So as I give you the sermon today, I just pray that, again, this sermon will be pleasing to God, will be pleasing to you, will be uplifting to you, and help you better understand how God wants us to live our lives and what we need to do to please Him. Now, I did preach a sermon on the first day of the month back in May, and I pulled out my May sermon to make sure I wasn't duplicating everything from today from that May sermon, and I'm not. I think there's going to be some duplication, but not a whole lot. And so, thank you for coming, both here, the people in the auditorium here, and those live streaming us, and also the guests that we have. Thank you for worshiping with us, and come back again when you can. So the title of my sermon is, "Who is Responsible for Spreading the Gospel?" Well, we know from Luke chapter 4, verse 43, we find that Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." So Jesus is telling us that he was sent for the purpose of spreading the gospel, spreading what God's plan was for him and how he was going to be used here on this earth. And as Brian read, we know that the apostles were told to spread the gospel by Jesus. And we find again in Matthew 28, verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So we know that Jesus died on the cross for us. We know that the apostles have all died. So who does that leave to spread the gospel? And that would be us. All Christians are expected to spread the gospel at every opportunity that arises, and not be afraid to do that, not to be afraid you're going to be rejected, which in some cases that will happen where a person doesn't want to hear it. But you're expected to do that. And one thing that we all have to remember too, to go along with that, it's not just the elders that need to do that. It's not just the deacons need to do that. It's all of us needs to spread the gospel whenever we can. Now I want to look at Paul and see why he was not ashamed of the gospel. And we'll be talking about that verse over there, Romans 1, verse 16, a little bit. But we find that Paul was not ashamed of the gospel in Romans 1, verses 14 and 15. And it says, "I am under obligation, both to Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish, so I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome." So here Paul is saying, "I am under obligation. I am to teach the Greeks, the barbarians, and those in Rome." Because he was working with the Gentiles. He was spreading the gospel to the Gentiles. And who knows how many thousands and thousands of people he told the gospel to. But he was wanting to preach the gospel. He was wanting to preach it to everyone. We find another reason why Paul wasn't ashamed of the gospel in Acts 20, verses 22 through 24. And it says, "And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." So again, Paul wasn't ashamed of the gospel. And in this case, he was going back to Jerusalem. And we have to remember that Paul, before he was a Christian, was a persecutor of Christians. So a lot of people didn't like him, especially the Romans, back in Jerusalem. But there were others too, because they knew he was spreading the gospel to the Gentiles. And they weren't happy with him. And people were telling him, "Don't go back." But he said, "I have to. I have to because I don't account my life of any importance. But I want to finish my course in the ministry that Jesus gave to me to testify to the gospel." And another verse that we know that Paul wasn't ashamed of the gospel is Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So the gospel was and is for everyone. We find in Luke 9, verses 26 through 27. Again, Jesus is talking to us here. And he tells why you shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel, because he says here, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." So that's another reason why Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. He loved Jesus. He wanted to preach for Jesus the gospel. He wanted to live a life that would be pleasing to Jesus and also pleasing to God. You know, when I was coming up with some ideas about this sermon, I came across this question. Was Paul ever tempted to be ashamed of the gospel? Well, honestly, I can't find anything in the scriptures that tell me he was necessarily ashamed of the gospel, but we have to remember he went through so many different trials in his life as a Christian, that maybe at some weak point he did express that, but I doubt it. But it's a possibility. And if anybody knows of any scripture that tells me that happened, let me know. But we do know that he knew somebody that was ashamed of the gospel, and that was Timothy. And we find in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." And we know that more than likely, Timothy was going through some trials of his own. And Paul is just reminding him what he had been doing in sharing the gospel with others and how important it was for him to continue to do that. Now I want to talk about four reasons why we should not be ashamed of the gospel. We should not be ashamed of the gospel because of the meaning of the word gospel. It means the good news. It's the good news about Christ and what God has, how God is using him. We should not be ashamed of the gospel because it's about salvation. Meaning that God has rescued us through the work of his son Jesus. Jesus reconciled us to himself, taking on our sins while on the cross. And we should not be ashamed of the gospel because it is powerful. Through Jesus, we have the hope of heaven for eternity. And we should not be ashamed of the gospel because it is for everyone. Everyone has the hope of heaven if they just accept Jesus as their Savior and put him on in baptism. John 3:16 tells us, "For God loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." So how important is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4 say, "For I delivered to you as of first importance that of what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." So here we have Paul reminding us what was prophesied in the Old Testament, that these things would happen. And they did happen. We find that the book of Romans also tells us a lot about the gospel. Romans 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." We know that Jesus, when he was hanging on that cross, took away all of our sins. He paid the price for our sins. He was our Redeemer and our hope of heaven. We find in Romans 6, 20, verse 23, Romans 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So when we sin, if we have not put Jesus on as our Savior, then that second death we will know will happen to us if we haven't accepted Jesus as our Savior. So the penalty of sin is death. But through the free gift of God, we have Jesus. In Romans 5, verse 8, Romans 5, verse 8 says, "But God shows his love for us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And that's the one that verse that kind of really gets to me. To know that even though we were all sinners, God was willing to sacrifice his son on that cross for us so that we could have that hope of heaven. So Christ suffered the penalty for our sins on the cross. In Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 says, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." We must trust Jesus alone for salvation and know how important our baptism into Christ is to us. So why do we need to spread the gospel? By sharing the gospel with others, we spread the word of God. When you share the good news about Jesus with others, you're giving them the opportunity to hear about and respond to the love of God. One of the best ways of spreading the gospel is simply by living a Christ-like life. When people see you living out your faith, it can be a powerful testimony to the power of God. So if people can see God and Jesus in us through our actions, through our deeds, that may be all it will take to lead lost souls to Jesus. Now, in most cases, it's going to take more than that. But that's something that we always have to try to do wherever we may be. Live that Christ-like life. Another way to spread the gospel is by serving others. When you serve others in the name of Christ, you're showing them the love of God in action. And this can be a powerful way to reach people who are not very close to God. And what we do here as a congregation to help others, for example, the homeless that we help, the people that we help during the great giveaway, and there are other things that we do here to help others, that sets a good example and can probably possibly help lead lost souls to Jesus. As Christians, our aim is to tell the whole world about Jesus, who he is, and why they should put him on as their Savior in baptism. God wants every soul to go to heaven, but they must first accept Jesus, to believe in him, to put him on in baptism, and to live a faithful life to God. So, in closing, have you been spreading the gospel? Have you been telling people about Jesus? If not, you need to. God and Jesus expect it of us. And I'm sure everyone in here knows that they could do better in spreading the gospel. I know I could do better. So it's important that we remember to try our best to do that. Don't be afraid to share it. Don't fear that people may reject you when you try to offer the gospel to them. Try your best. Try to lead as many lost souls to Jesus as you can. So at this time, we offer an invitation for those who haven't accepted Jesus as their Savior and would like to put him on in baptism. We also share the invitation with those Christians who might want to come forward for prayers. If you need to come forward for any reason, please do so as we sing the song of invitation.